11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. And it begins with a cat. Hello, Luna. And more questions. Luna's had enough show, much like many of our listeners. Strolf, what more questions do you have?
I have one that might be a little long. Now, I don't know what Up North Joe's is, but it's something you and I have talked about very briefly this offseason that has been on my brain, much like the call we got from Preston in Minnesota earlier. Something I've thought a lot about this offseason.
Spencer in Minnesota.
I think it was Spencer, not Preston. What,
I've heard it both ways.
Me too.
Who the hell is Preston?
I don't know where I pulled that from. I mean, I don't know. Just ignore it. So, the defensive line, underwhelming last year, Jason. You would agree?
I was told that Rashawn Gary was a Pro Bowler, so.
Yeah. You were only told that. That was a fact. I just don't know if it's a fact many of us agreed with. They seemingly have chalked it up as a coaching issue versus a personnel issue, bringing in a new defensive line coach. DeMarcus Covington, I believe his name?
It is. Yes, it is. That is his name.
Do you think that's going to be enough to bring this defensive line and pass rush to the next level? Because it seems like otherwise their defense looks pretty solid on paper. The defensive line's a spot that irks me and scares me a little bit as they lose T.J. Slayton and didn't really add any significant pieces outside of a couple day three draft picks to that defensive line. So do you think the coaching change is enough to elevate guys like Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness to a level, at least for Van Ness, we've never seen, and for Gary, we haven't seen in several years? That I'm a little skeptical on. That's the one piece of this team where I go, oh, I don't know if that they did enough there.
Yeah, look, I first of all, I believe Goody when he says that when the draft board falls the way it falls, that he's not going to chase. So he didn't draft a corner. Do I think that if they had drafted a corner, say, in the second round, or, you know, I thought it was interesting. I included this in my story on channel3000.com. There are only two first-round corners. Two. If you don't count Travis Hunter, which whatever he is, he's a unicorn. Then there were only three second-round corners. And then there were nine third-round corners. Including Siobhan Revelle from East Carolina, who came in for a visit for the Packers pre-draft, is coming off of an ACL, but is a guy that they were clearly interested in. He went 76th overall, and then they took Savion Williams 87th overall. Now, can I say with any degree of certainty whatsoever that if Savion Williams and Siobhan Revelle are both there at 87, that they still pick Williams? No. I cannot say that with any degree of certainty. In fact, I would love to know if he had fallen all that way, if Revelle would be a Packer. Because you had him in for a visit. There's a lot of people that really liked him coming out, even though he's coming off the major injury. And so then you don't draft the corner until the seventh round. Defensive line, hey, you went back-to-back edges in the fourth and fifth round, and Goody views the fourth-round pick as a premium pick. He has referred to it that way multiple times. So Sorrell is a guy that they expect to contribute. But he, you know, one, and I don't want to say that fans are never happy, because that A is unfair to them, and B, you know, I'm not going to paint fans with a broad brush. I know better than that. But there is a segment of the fan base that now they finally draft a wide receiver for the first time in the first round in 23 years, and now we're not happy you didn't get a corner or edge rusher high. So, look, I don't know if Rashawn Gary's ever going to be a lead pass rusher. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. All I know is to this point in his career, he's never had double-digit sacks, and generally speaking, you would like him to have done that by now if he's going to be elite. And Lucas Van Ness has, what, seven total sacks in his career? Seven and a half, somewhere in that range? That's fewer than Will McDonald IV of the greater Milwaukee area and Iowa State had as the 15th overall pick after the pick swap with the Jets. That's what he had last year, 10 and a half. So those guys need to be better. They need to be more productive, and they need to make it so they don't always have to come up with creative ways to generate pressure. Just have four guys get after the quarterback and win and create pressure.
When you look at position groups on this team, is that the one where you go, yeah, that's probably the biggest question mark for the Packers entering training camp in 2025?
Look, I'm a Carrington Valentine believer, so I think he's a good player. I do. And so, but I do think there are people that question corner, which is why so many folks are getting their hopes up now about the Jair Alexander reconciliation, which, again, I hope it's true. I hope it ends up working that way. But let's make sure we understand that while Rob Domofsky did report that they are now conversing and discussing the idea of him coming, he also made it very clear that all three options, release, trade, or reconcile, are all on the table. It's not just, oh, now they're working toward a resolution, and he's definitely going to be back. So maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I don't know about anybody else, but this is one of the longer running topics that I've encountered since quarterbacks mold retirement.
/ leaving Green Bay, Rodgers watch too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to your point, I am no math whiz by any means, but 66.6% of those options you just listed equal Jair not in Green Bay. So as open as I am to it, I'm with you, because when he's at his best, when he's been available, he's been a productive and very good player. And it's certainly, when you add the name Jair Alexander to a defensive backfield, you feel more comfortable with it. But I'm not sold he'll be back by any means. We'll see. And to be real honest with you, I expect this to drag out for quite a while. But between defensive line and corner, those are my two bugaboos. I feel really good about this offense, as I went on a rather long soliloquy about earlier. It's a very exciting offense at all position groups.
Yeah, you, soliloquy, lengthy. Maybe you are my son, based on the reports in the YouTube comments or on the text chains.
I am not going to pull a Jesse and refer to you as dad, like he does with Matt LaPay. I'm not going to do that.
I so want to make a joke here that's a very niche joke, but I'm not going to do it. What other questions do you have?
We have one from Up North Joe.
You don't know that.
Do you have any from Chuck?
Aw, who's that? I didn't see anyone named Chuck on the text line. I
didn't either. Yeah.
I do have Up North Joe's question for you. He was very excited. I think he spent a lot of time crafting it like he does with his trivia questions. Here it is,
boy.
Jason.
Lay it on me.
Here's one.
What a start.
It's quite a salutation.
Do you think Goody believes Jordan Love is one consistent performing solid offensive lineman away from taking the next step and having a breakout year, even with the receiver room in a little question?
It's an interesting question, because you could also take offensive linemen out of there and insert wide receiver, consistent wide receiver, and ask it again, right? I mean, look, is it possible that Jordan Love is just, his ceiling is going to be that he's going to be a good to better than good, very good, but not MVP, not all pro, not Hall of Fame quarterback? Yeah. Can you win with guys like that and win a Super Bowl? Yeah, you can. But then the other pieces do matter a little bit more, right? That you don't have that guy who I used to always love calling Rodgers a deodorant, because he was so good, he covered up other areas of your team that stink. And if Jordan Love is going to become that guy, great. Then he can make up for some areas that stink. Otherwise, if he's just a good, lotion or hair care product or whatever else we want to have in your cupboard, then he's still going to need the other ones to play at a high enough level. And whether that's adding wide receivers or improving the pass protection or having a running back shoulder a lot of the load offensively again, whatever that looks like, there is a formula to win a Super Bowl with Jordan Love as your quarterback, even if he's not a Hall of Famer or a perennial All-Pro like Rodgers and Favre were. There's certainly plenty of, you know, there's what did PETA want us to say instead of skin? There's lots of ways to feed a cat. So whether or not Jordan Love is going to be as great as Favre or Rodgers, I would say based on the early returns that it's less likely that he is that good and more likely that he's just pretty good. Feed a fed horse is the one I was looking for.
Yeah, that was
Josh.
Definitely more than one way to feed a cat is not what you were looking for.
Well, they definitely don't want us skinning cats.
No, that, I mean, they definitely changed that one. You're right. But
that one's a beat a dead horse.
Yes. Feed a fed horse.
But beat a dead horse is not what I'm looking for there. What I'm looking for is there's more than one way to win Super Bowls with quarterbacks. So it was definitely skin a cat. I don't remember what they gave me as an alternative. PETA, if you're listening. I need your info.
Up North Joe is upset with me that I changed his question.
Wait, you changed his question?
No, he said...
editorialized it?
He said... all right. He said, do you think Goody believes Jordan Love is one consistently performing solid O-line away from taking the next step?
So the entire group.
He's talking about the entirety of the line, not just one offensive lineman. I misunderstood what he was saying. Sorry, Joe. Does that change your answer?
No.
Didn't think so.
No,
they've
put him in a position to limit excuses. That's for sure, right? I think we would all agree on that.
They have given him a lot to work with. There's no question about that.
Including a $55 million payday every year.
But also a first round wide receiver and another opportunity and another guy in the third round now. So look, they've given him ample options. Whether or not they're good enough, we'll have to wait and see.
Very true. Yeah, and an investment in a left guard and a second round offensive tackle. So we will see.
What else you got?
Don't we need to break?
We were so concerned about time management in the 9 o'clock hour. Now it's 11:22, and Jason's over here. Ah, what the heck? Well, let's keep going.
Time for a break, I'm told.
Could you beat me in a 40-yard dash?
That's
a question.
What changed from the 9 o'clock hour to the 11 o'clock hour? We're like, we're going to be on time today.
I thought Stroh took over the show. I thought that's what changed. I thought he was on top of this. All right, more of your questions next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing our Q&A edition of Wilde and Stroh.
If I may interject.
You certainly may, Matt LePay, Jr.
Oh, boy.
So we've had a lot of questions for Jason on the program today.
Oh, boy.
Up North Joe has a daily double that he wants to ask Alex Stroh a question here.
Okay.
Now, I know things got a little wild and wacky on Kyle Bruston Nortman yesterday with
the...
Gabe Neitzel, Mac Fund fundraising efforts that ensued.
Babyface Neitzel.
Yes. Looks great, by the way. Looks great. Stroh, did you say you could land a plane yesterday? Because North Joe is a pilot. Licensed pilot.
So,
and he's very offended that you think you could casually hop in a plane and land it.
So hold on a minute. So this was a conversation around self-confidence, which I think a lot of us in this business have too much of it, including myself, very much so. I said in an emergency, if I had the proper equipment, right? If I could talk to the air traffic controller, if they could talk me through how to land a plane, I think I could potentially do it. Yes.
Joe had to take courses for like years to be able to do this kind of thing.
Again, I'm not saying I could professionally fly a plane.
You think in a emergency situation where tension is already extra high and stressful and it is live
on the line.
A pilot
has had a heart attack.
I'd be willing to raise my hand and say, I got this, yes. In that scenario.
And you think I'm not on that flight.
With someone in your headset saying, all right, now hit this button, you think you could land an airplane?
All right. Strophe two.
The
answer
is no.
Please tell me which lever I need to pull.
Well, if the pilots have both been incapacitated, they're not there to tell you what to do.
Here's the thing. I'd prefer it not be a commercial flight. Right, I don't want to be on like a Delta flight with 100 people.
What makes you so? Are you going up in the air with Larry McCarron?
What very specific circumstances?
Does Larry McCarron fly?
Yeah, he's a pilot. Yeah, he's flown to games before independently.
Oh,
as a team.
That's very fun.
Yeah. I never knew that.
I love Larry McCarron. He has been amazing to me. I think the world of him. I don't know if I have enough faith in anyone. Certainly not you, but not even Larry McCarron, who I love. I don't like to fly to begin with. It has become a thing for me ever since we had kids. There's just a little undercurrent of nervousness. I am not going up in a helicopter. I'm not going up in a small airplane. Like Larry flies, if I can avoid it, I don't have a whole lot of interest in flying anywhere. But if I have to fly, happy to fly on Delta. But you're not landing a 747. You're landing like a Cessna. No.
Yeah, a Cessna,
like a little four-person plane. You
totally
think?
Know what a Cessna is. Yeah, well, just act like I know what that is
since
for a moment.
Since you're apparently appointing yourself a pilot,
amateur pilot,
you should know a little more about planes.
An irrational self-confidence thing about me is, in the case of an emergency, I think I could land a small plane. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive real quick on this Larry McCarron note, but we all know about his famous pinkies. Do you think that...
It's only one. It's only one that's all mangled.
I thought it was both.
No, it's just one.
So that doesn't affect his ability to fly an airplane.
Come on. You're going to question whether his bent pinky prevents him from handling the controls properly?
I feel like that's a fair question.
Yeah, well, so much for that promise of we weren't going to get sidetracked from questions.
I think this was a great derailment, actually. As you can tell, my energy has kicked up a notch.
Pull it on Mr. Irrelevant. Who believes Strofe could land a plane in case of emergency?
Josh DiMaggio is blowing up our phones like he doesn't have a microphone in front of his face. Joshy, you and I co-host Mr. Irrelevant together Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning
at
12:30.
When did that happen, by the way?
Before the football season, I would think. Or
I noticed he's been
season.
On when I've been on. I thought it was just because he wanted to get in the conversation with me.
No, he sits in the studio with me three times a week. So, wow. Joshy, there is a long storied history of my over self-confidence. Overconfidence. Would you like to provide any examples off the top of the noggin?
I mean, the first one is the three cone drill and all the athletic.
Combine,
like you thought you were going to have a decent combine. You once told us, now this is a great one. He told us he could name all the largest population cities in order. And he didn't get more than he got two.
I think I got three.
He also said he could name the largest states the largest cities by population in Wisconsin. He got about three as well. And he was so confident.
You've lived here your whole life.
And his fourth guess was like number 25 on the list.
For the U.S. one.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just thinks.
No, I got all 10 Wisconsin, just very out of order.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably some of the reason you're here right now as such a young person in accomplishing so much. So here's the compliment.
Thanks.
But you're a complete moron.
So much.
You just think you could do stuff that you have no possibility of doing.
You're just a complete moron.
New York, L.A., and Olympia, Washington.
Yeah, he got to Chicago, and then suddenly just
I think
went
I
off
said
the...
Atlanta, and it was actually much smaller than I realized. Yes. Yeah. Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha. All right, that's enough of that.
Chip in Cedarburg, I'm a pilot, too. No chance you get that plane safely on the ground. I'd rather jump out and take my chances of surviving the impact than an attempted strophe landing.
Robin Madison says, I'm rather confident Alex would successfully crash the plane. Thanks for the ringing endorsements, everyone. That was good.
There's a better chance of LeBron requesting a trade to Milwaukee.
LeBron's a free agent. Watch out now.
All right. Time for Woe Nelly next.
Strofe's agility drills. I have serious doubts he'd make it to the cockpit before the plane crashed. Matt Coonan.
That's a good. Very odd brand message from Matt Coonan. Speaking of brands, I will give you this. The 40-yard dash, you looked faster than you looked in the cone drill. I will say that about you. Again, pretty low bar. Your straight line speed, it does. I would just say this, if you're watching on YouTube, it doesn't look like you're trying as hard as you can. And I know you were, which makes it even more disconcerting.
That's the sad part. The also sad part is I was a runner in middle school and high school. I ran cross country for years. And looked like that, and I never knew it.
The three cup drill, since you guys didn't have cones, you used Dixie cups. Not pretty. What is going to be great, though, unlike that demonstration of his athleticism, is our big Made 'Em Believe event on June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. You remember the moments of that magical march in 2015. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bull Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship game. Well, now you can relive it all with Made 'Em Believe on June 26th. Join Frank, Sam Decker, Bull Ryan, and more for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of that team. Tickets are on sale now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. I wanted to Woe Nelly that, but I couldn't. Time now for the real Woe Nelly. That's next, so stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Slow down on Monday.
We're trying to land the plane that is this Q&A edition of Wilde and Tausch with Alex Strofe as our cousin sub of the day. Again, I don't think we'll have as vehement of complaints, but I still don't know if we got to as much as we would have liked over the course of the last 2 hours and 41 minutes. And now it's time for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
I grew up in the 90s and 2000s. I've been around a fair share of bad Wisconsin sports teams. Why would anyone want to go to a Chicago White Sox game? The Brewers play the White Sox today. 1:10 first pitch if it's not raining. The White Sox are 7-23. They have been an atrocious baseball team for several seasons. Their ownership stinks. They're not trying to win. The games don't look fun. Like, they've invent ways to lose every game out. Like, there's 16 games under 500 at the end of the first month of the season.
A lot of season left.
Why would anyone ever want to go to a Chicago White Sox game? As you can see, Pablo Iglesias standing behind me here, if you're watching on YouTube, noted Chicago White Sox fan.
I notice he's not going to the game.
He will not be in attendance for today, this afternoon's chance for the Brewers to get their first sweep of the season.
I don't have much if you're a White Sox fan.
Can you bring in Pablo?
Yeah, I'll go get him here. Hang on.
Okay. Because here's what I don't understand, Strofe.
Yes.
Are they trying to get a new... I have not followed this story. Okay? So, hand up. I'm not all that... I have a buddy that works for the Sun-Times, Steve Greenberg, who I worked with at the Badger Herald once upon a time at the University of Wisconsin. I saw you had a column today on the White Sox, saying that it's more of the same but different, and that there are small signs of improvement. But now that Pablo Iglesias joins us, proudly sporting his University Ridge hoodie, which I thought for a second he'd be wearing, proudly wearing Bradley University items that he was given when he was invited to speak and Jesse tagged along.
My plus one, yeah, Jesse. Jesse, my plus one to the Steiner Symposium.
Not true.
Yeah, he was not invited.
Well, we do have the jump around today. I do have to rep a little bit of Badger. But let's, gentlemen, focus on the big thing here.
Because what, our listeners are interested in is White Sox talk.
Absolutely. Because I'll just put it this way. I think the Chicago White Sox are very much the indication of what Chicago is actually all about. You're going to have a great time. You're going to get to see what the neighborhood's all about. You're going to get great food. It's not the sexiest stadium of them all, but hey, it's a baseball stadium. And you know what? If you're going down to Milwaukee, it's about an hour and a half drive, hour 45 into traffic. You get to see the Brewers. You get to see them pull off the sweep, and you get to knock off a baseball park, too, if you're a Brewers fan wanting to go to a Chicago White Sox game. I'll tell you what all bars to go to as well. That's the neighborhood that I grew up in. That's where I'm from. That's where I would say, guys, you got to go to a Chicago White Sox game, and I'll be your tour guide.
All right. Yeah. I've had two. Now this is the third person who's taken over this show for me today.
It's good.
The reason I invited you in was not for you to act like the Chamber of Commerce
that was
for
the
South Siders.
It's a good one.
What are they trying to accomplish by not trying to win? Are they trying to get? Are they trying to move out to the suburbs? Why don't they care about fielding a playoff or even not just contending but just competitive baseball team in Chicago, Pablo?
I feel like that it's getting in their own way. It's what the front office is all about. They want to be about putting a winning product out there, but they have to be real. They gotta be with the times now, too. It's not going to be like players are all of a sudden just going to stop asking for more money. Get out there. And if Yasmani Grandal and Andrew Benintendi are the highest paid players ever in franchise history, there's a problem there. I don't want to just be the guys that are at the table with Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and call it a day. That's what the Brewers are doing, too. It's like, hey, we're at the table. We're talking to these free agents. Don't give up. You're still in Chicago. You're still in a big market. So I don't know exactly what the problem is or how to fix the problem, guys. But I just say, you know what? Stop saying that you can't be at the table and you can't afford these big market players, because I know that they definitely can't. Jerry Reinsdorf's got some money with the Chicago Bulls. I know that.
Well, hey.
They stink,
hey,
too.
Well, they made some really cool crossover jerseys with the White Sox and Bulls. That's going to solve all the problems, right? Give a couple extra dollars to get some free agents next summer.
I'm not a fan of those. Like, it's just a huge cash grab, guys. I mean, do you feel otherwise? I feel like it's a huge cash grab now. It's like what the NBA City jerseys are now. Those are cool, but now we're just like, we're losing the essence of what the city jerseys
celebrating
are.
Jerry's greatness. Celebrating Chicago's
look
greatness.
Look at the collar.
Grab. What are you talking
look
about?
Look at the collar. It shows all of the championships. It shows the six Bulls championships and then 1906 and 1917. Why are those on there? Jerry didn't win. It's like, quote unquote, celebrating the success of the White Sox and Bulls. I did not expect this to be the talk today. I'm sure everybody else is just thrilled to be talking about Chicago White Sox and Chicago Bulls basketball here across ESPN Wisconsin.
Yeah, I just want to point out, I didn't get a very good answer from you on this.
I was very good at diverting, wasn't I?
Like, you don't know why they suck. It's not like they're completely broke. Like, is it incompetence? Whatever it is.
We're just too loyal at this point, man.
It's incompetence.
Whoa, hang on now. Well, the team is incompetent.
Right.
I didn't go to a game at all last season, but yeah.
Oh, big fan.
It's my neighborhood.
Clearly super loyal.
You're going to check this stadium off your list.
They averaged 17,000 fans a game last year. Pablo's giving us a Chamber of Commerce sales pitch. He didn't attend one.
I'll go this
year. You're a fraud.
I'm not a fraud.
Jesse, get him out of here. Get him out.
I'm getting yanked. Hey, guys, take care, be good.
Somebody get that hook thing that they pull guys off stage with. Do I feel like I have any better idea how a big market like Chicago has such a crappy team?
We could have won Nelly'd that.
Well, Jesse like gave him his headphones and the microphone, and then he left.
I didn't even hear what you guys were saying on the other end of it, the way this works back here.
It's quite an operation. Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
All I heard was, but hey, it's a baseball stadium. That's one in the top five reasons to go to a White Sox game.
Great neighborhood, but he didn't attend a single one last year. That's great.
Yeah, it's where he grew
good
up.
Good insight.
Luka and LeBron were eliminated from the playoffs last night in the same amount of games in the same round as the Milwaukee Bucks, who were without Damian Lillard for all but five quarters of the postseason. Should the Lakers be more embarrassed than the Bucks for their postseason performance?
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, the Bucks lost Damian Lillard. I mean, you have built-in excuses right away right there. LeBron just didn't show up in the fourth quarter of either Game 4 or Game 5, scored a combined 5 points in the fourth quarters of each of those games as the Lakers fall. So, father time might be catching up to old LeBron James. Luka's still amazing, but he's just, I don't know. It wasn't enough, obviously, to beat Ant-Man and the Wolves. So, yes, they should be more embarrassed because they were healthy, at least healthier in terms of their stars.
Yeah, I have to admit, was that game late last night?
It was, yep.
Because I wanted to see if the Wolves were going to eliminate them, and then I forgot, and then I went to bed, which is what Lakers, older folks do.
Lakers were down double digits. They came roaring back in the third and then blew the lead and ultimately lost by, I think it was 7 or 8.
So I if I recall correctly, there was someone on this panel who is not here today, who was also touting the Doncic trade frequently that had them in the finals. That is not going to be the case in the West. So they should be embarrassed. They made this big move. They had the steal, the heist of the century, getting Luka Doncic the way they did. And good for Anthony Edwards and the T-Pups. Good for them. Whoa, Nelly.
T-Pups?
Whoa,
that's what they used to be called when they were a really young team in the 90s, the T-Pups.
Okay. Interesting.
Learn stuff from old people all the time. Next!
Whoa, Nelly!
Are you out of stuff?
Yeah, the music's done, dude. What's going on here in the 11 o'clock
well, you
hour?
Use, yeah, what's you, going on you, with you, Jason?
You keep wanting more. It's 11:51. Like, yeah. we're out of time.
Let's do another
here. The
hour.
The music's done. What are you doing?
Well, the music was done, and this is I hand up. This is my fault. How do I get my hand in the video stream here? There we go. I shouldn't have brought in Pablo. He didn't. He added nothing other than a Chamber of Commerce pitch.
I don't think that he didn't even go to. I think the point
in
is
the last calendar plus year.
He's got nothing. You can't add nothing when you have nothing. Like the White Sox have nothing. They're 7-23 and terrible, and they have been for years.
What I wanted was an explanation as to how does a team in, let's not call Chicago a small market, please.
Nope.
Okay?
Third how biggest in the U.S., bad? By the way.
Good.
We will wrap things up because the music has stopped. That's on me. I thought Pablo would come in. Great opportunity to be on our show. We love him. He does a great job. But I, as a Chicago White Sox fan, I thought we'd get some vitriol and some frustration, and there's no reason for them to be this bad. And instead we got, there's great restaurants around old Comiskey Rate Field Park, whatever they call it. Don't get it. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Nuggets win their second straight and take a 3-2 lead over the Clippers. Will L.A. survive a must-win? Coverage begins tonight at 9:30 Eastern. With tip-off at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
We've got less than a minute to go. Strofe and Jesse, your assessment of today's Q&A edition, and would you do it again?
Jesse, why don't you lead us off?
I've enjoyed the Q&A day. I think...
I don't think we should do it often.
My takeaway is this. I think Jesse and I enjoyed ourselves. I think the fans enjoyed themselves. I'm not positive Jason enjoyed himself.
I'm not sure if we covered as much ground as we wanted to. Certainly an upgrade from the last time.
Committing to it all show long instead of for the 11 o'clock hour like we did last time was definitely a
But then we got some knucklehead land in a Cessna.
Well, that was a question that was asked. That's what happens when we do a Q&A day. I do think there is some warranted critique from some of the fans, and you know how much I don't enjoy the YouTube dwellers.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some warranted critique on the length of some of the responses derailing some of the other additional questions we could have gotten to.
Wait, critique of my answers?
I'm not pointing any fingers. There was some critique of the length of answers and how that could have impacted the amount of questions that were covered.
Okay, well, I was going to say that some of the questions were too
long. You know, Jason, no, there's an easy way to flip this, right? Flip it on the fans. They asked such great questions that got you thinking and rolling and really analyzing the questions they asked.
All right, well, we're out of time for this one. Lord knows Tausch misses time, so maybe there'll be another opportunity. We'll keep workshopping it, and we'll see if we can't maybe get to even more answers in the future. But my thorough answers, I thought, were the point of this.
I did, too. But that you can't make the YouTube dwellers happy. That's just
not true. We love YouTube.
That'll be it for us today. Thanks to Alex Stroh for stepping into the breach, and thanks to the YouTube dwellers who didn't think we got enough answers because mine were too long.
They did a great job today.
Great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full-show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.